The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
I do, Yola. This is Billy. Now, we by really took you on in your cutwalks as such, and there's some absolutely busters that you can go on. But this is a bit different, really, because I live just over the top of Oakham in Raleigh Regis on the Portway. And one of my walks that I really, really love is up over the top, down through Warren's Hall and the Bumble Hole. Have a little, you know, rummage around the Bumble Hole, see what's there. Then going off the fair end and then just see where it takes you. And it might be that I go all the road to Merihill and the waterfront, but I might not. It depends what I feel like, because I could leave that for another day. So any road up, let's take it up from our house. So we're halfway down Portway Hill and we walk up to the top of the hill. Now, what I'd probably do is go over the top of Raleigh Bonk while I'm here, because one of my favourite places in the world is the top of Raleigh Bonk, where you can go right across the top there. And I sort of stunned at the top where Big and Little Bertha, the guns, used to be in the war. And imagine what it would be like. And apparently there is these two massive, massive guns that obviously was there to protect Albury and the industry and that, when they used to send the air raids and that. And they'd be right on the top of Raleigh Bonk. And I know for a fact that me Uncle Eric used to live in some of the houses just on the top of City Road. And he says every time they fired a shell, the windows would go in. So you might as well just have cardboard or something to put your windows, because you know that was going to bust every time there was an air raid. So I love standing there. It's a beautiful walk anyway, because you've got to be pretty fit, because it's up and down, and there's some sort of quagmire places you've got to be careful of. Or you can go down through the sort of marlowels, through the trees. But if you're stunned on the top of Raleigh Bonk there, and just look around, you've got the skyline of Brummagem in the distance, and then just 360 degrees on all of the Black Country. It's the most beautiful, beautiful place. There in the top of Derby's Hill, the most magnificent views. And I'll tell you a bit more about them anyway, because I've got loads of stories about Raleigh Bonk and the legend of some braids and stuff like that. But we're going up anyway. We're going up Portway Hill, and on our left is the Waiter Tower. And Turner's Hill, which was a massive, well, still is, a massive, great, big marlow, probably 500, 600 foot deep, where they used to, I think they used to mine the clay there, and some of it goes on now, because I know there's like big lorries goes in there all the time. But the Waiter Tower now, it's just got millions of sky dishes on it. But there is a story in its end where, to me, that's the sign that I'm home. Really, because I can see that from anywhere, from coming from Frankly Beaches down the motorway on the train. You just look up and there it is. It's like a grey monolith type thing. Incredibly powerful, incredibly strong image right on top of the bonk there. And it gives you a sense of belonging to me. That does. And I always have a look at it from wherever I am. I always have a look and say, you know, that's where I belong, up there. So we go past that anyway. I think the Raleigh Olympic and the Wheat Chief are on my left. Down past the golf course. And then there's a little turn. And you go down the little turn. There's a nursing home there. And the Warren's Hall stables are there, where the Babs and the elders kept the horses. And you can, if you go left and then go up the bonk and round the top, you can actually see them in that sort of quadrant place where they're practicing all that stuff that they do with horses, you know what I mean? Going round and round and round. Or you've got to be careful, because they do come out onto the little path and in the fields when they take the horses a ride. So be aware when you're walking down the paths of these horses that might come about. But it's lovely. It's tucked in the trees there. It's away from everything else. So you come off a really, really busy road, and then there you am. You know, you've got the golf course on one side where you get all these faint noises of blokes cussing because they've knocked the ball the wrong road and stuff like that. And then the other side, you've got these Aussies, which is fantastic. Come across the top, and then there's a steep decline. Now, if you are very fit, don't go this road because you won't get back up. You'd have to go down and park on Warren's Hall. But this is like the top half, the other side on the road. And again, I usually stand on the fences by where the fields are, and some of the Aussies are left there to sort of graze, and look over toward Clent and other places like that. And the views are just magnificent. You've got this image of how it used to be as an industrial region. And it's you can still see all the houses and the sort of ghosts, really, of some of the big industries with things that crop up and catch your eye. But I could stand there all day long. It's beautifully fresh. It's park eve. There's a wind coming up, mate. You've got to wrap up. But it's beautifully fresh. And you can look up towards Oakham, you know, all the posh houses along the Oakham Road, and then look down into the valley. And I'll go down the valley and follow the winding road. Sometimes I'll go off and walk through the trees and all that, but you've got to be careful because if there's a bit of rain for some reason, it gets really, really muddy. And of course, the Aussies, if they've been around, they cut all the ground up. About halfway down on the right, there's a little lake, and you can sometimes see some folks fishing in there. And then when you get to the bottom, it's a really, really steep walk, that is. So as I say, if you are very fit, you're probably best to miss this out because you won't walk back up to your car. You won't walk back up that way. It's sort of a really stiff gradient. You'll come to the bottom and you'll come off on the Dudley Road and you've only got a turn left, walk up a bit, and you're at the opening to Warren's Hall and the Bumblehole. And then you just cross the road and go down, and then it's like entering. You know, when we've gone to the parks and stuff like that, you know it's a park, and you know this is like entering, arable land and countryside right in the middle, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And it don't matter which way you go, really. You can go in and turn right and go across the fields. You can keep to the path and go round the top lake. You can go to the left and climb up these sort of, how they bang the wooden sleepers into the side of the bunks. You can climb right up onto the top and you come to like a sheer cliff that overlooks part of the cut. That if you go left, you go back towards Pauk Lane and that way, and then on towards Isles Owen and Netherton and that way. But if you're stunned on there, it's almost like it's a sheer cliff. And I know on the Comedy and Nostalgia show, Paul Jennings did talk about this because he grew up around there as though it was the mountain that you had to climb. A bit like when we went to Barnford Park and we'd climb Pudding Rock, which wore very high in if you really thought about it. But it was blooming high when we was kids. So you can go either of them three routes to make yourself down to the big bonk. If you go round the other side of the lake, the Fush Lake, there's a little walk that goes across the top and you stand there and the bonk drops away, and then there in front is the big towering building that was like an old engine house, really. Red brick, really well preserved in a way. I mean, I don't know why they had done something inside there. I don't know, make it a tie room or something. Because the actual structure of the building is just fantastic. And all you've got inside, obviously all of the workings and stuff have gone out, whatever was inside there. So it's just empty. And I'm sure something could be done with it. But again, it's a fantastic building. And you walk past there. And you can just go on in any direction you want. You can go left to Pauk Lane. You can go right and bring yourself back to the Oakham Road. You can walk through the trees. Or you can carry on down towards the Bumblehole. And there's a series of bridges as you get there. And they're all going in different directions and sending you down different fields and stuff like that. And you can go down and turn right on the towpath, and it takes you to the opening of the Dudley Tunnel, which I'm not sure if you can walk through now. I don't think you can walk through now. But obviously the boats, I think, can still come through the Dudley Tunnel. It takes you all the road through to the Black Country Museum, I believe. But it sort of gives you a sense of time, you know, or timelessness is probably a better word. You can go down there and you can't see any buildings and you can't see anybody else if it's on a quiet day. And you can just stand there and just imagine what it would be like. And there's very often boats moored there, or there's, you know, there's stuff going on. When it's open, the little cafes there, and you can get a cup of tea and sit there by the side of the court and just let time idle away. And it sort of spreads in all directions, and it's such a peaceful and wonderful place to go. They obviously have the festivals there when they're allowed to, and then it becomes really noisy in that. And you get your runners and your dog walkers and that, but everybody's so sociable and really, really friendly. And what you get is you get unusual things in the trees and in the clearings. You get like wind chimes that have been put there, or little doers, a bit like Worley Woods, where you've got doers put by the bottom of trees. Or you'll get these little constructions that are absolutely fascinating. And you can walk down the one side, go over the bridge and come all the way back up the other side and go round the back end towards, there's a big, big, big lake with some sluice gates and stuff like that. And again, you can just sit there and just lose yourself in the peace and the quiet of it all, and just think of the folks that have gone down that cut. Think of the workmen that would have been working in the big factories that would come there, or, you know, all the families that would come when there'd be a festival on. It must have been just absolutely teeming with folks, because that would be the release. And when all the boatmen would have a rally there, and you'd have them playing the barans and the fiddles and stuff, and singing and a dancing on the decks or on the side of the cut, it must have been an absolutely amazing experience. Before we go through the bridge and on toward wherever it takes we, we'll go right. If you go over that bridge and come back a bit, there's some little steps down, and I want to tell you about this in case you've missed this, because it's off when I first fun it. I was quite shocked, really, but it's just like this haven of, I don't know, weirdness. So you go over the bridge at the bottom, past the cafe on your left, and you come to the bridge. And instead of going straight on, which we'll come back and go, we went over the bridge. And then we went down this little path that takes you round the other side on the lake. So you can get to the lake both roads, really. But the surface road is the road that I told you to walk back up the bumblehole and then go left through the fields and then fun it that road. Because this road, you'd have to climb through the trees, and it's a bit... I went, you know, but I'm a numpty. So you walk down this path. And there's houses on the left-hand side. And it's strange, really, because some of them have sort of brung themselves to the side of the cut and had their own little jetties there. Some of them might have a boat there, or they've got table and chairs, and they must come down for a cup of tea when it's sunny, or they'd have a glass of wine or something at night. And again... The houses go onto the road that goes down to the Buffery, down to Buffery Hill and Buffery Park. So it's a really, really busy road, but you almost like step back and away from it, as though that don't matter. You know, it don't matter that there's bloom juggernauts and stuff going past, because here, it's a different world. But as you turn the corner towards where I'm coming back up round the far side on the lake, there's this place that's like full of, well, it's high junk. It's just like weird stuff. There's things like a little lighthouse and skeletons hanging from the trees, and a big lion, and like a cafe bit thing, the Raya Cafe. And it's just full. There's boats there and all. And there's skeletons like steering the boats. And then there's this sign on the fence that says, if anybody wants to talk to the waterways chaplain, phone this number. Now, I don't know if it's there because there's been, you know, there've been problems with folks that have been depressed or something that have gone down there and needed help or something. But it's just surreal. It's a surreal place, but fascinating. And it's like at the back of one of the houses. And somebody did tell me the story that it's one of the local blokes who, I presume he might have been a scrappy or he was just a bit doolally tap and he just collected these things. But you know, when you get in fairgrounds and things like that in fairgrounds, well, it's a bit like that. It's just like tranquillments that he's put up, and there could be a massive sundial next to a big Buddha, or there could be this skeleton. Oh, and there's like a Romani caravan. I mean, there's that much stuff. It's just by worth going to the Bumblehole and just taking a few minutes just to walk down there and have a look. And I tell you what, you'd get some great photos. So that's where it is. It's on the right. You'd have to go past the cafe on your left, over the bridge, turn back a bit, go down the steps. And it's probably about 300 yards down there. You can go all the road round and back if you are going where we can go in. But as it is, I'm going to come back, get back to the bridge, and then we're just going to carry on. And it sort of points you in the road, if you go all the road, to the waterfront at Merriehill. And when you think, you know, that's a long, long... Well, driving it, it's a long, long road. So what would it be if you were walking it? And I just carried on walking. And what I found this on all of the cuts, really. You'd be walking along and you'd have these, as I say, you'd have some gardens that were just had the fence up, and then some gardens that had massive sort of platforms and jetties, and they'd really gone to town. You'd have some that'd have little sun houses or bars at the end. But then also, in the rubble of weeds, now and again, you'd have like this sculptural construction and all rusted up and aged, like, you know. And what it were, obviously there'd be industry all along the side of these cuts many, many years ago. And these were sort of the places where the boats, the wake boats, would pull in to get the stuff from the industry. It might be steel, might be coal, you know, might be tar, anything. And these are the remains of the, like, the hoists and stuff that was in the wharf. So although the buildings were there, these constructions were almost like testaments to an industry that had gone before. And half hidden in the reeds, they just look magnificent and fascinating. And with the sunlight or the light changing, they change colour. And I'd just stand there as I was walking along the cut and just think, this is just unbelievable. You know, I've walked this path tons and tons of times, and I really looked to see what was there. But now, because I've got time and the sky is bluer, and I can hear all that. You can even hear the fish, like, jumping out the water and stuff like that. And you really looked at the surface of the cut, and some of them had them really big lily pods and stuff like that, which you'd never noticed before. So it was a case of almost like reliving nature and getting to grips with nature. And you just carried on, and distance become nothing. You were going along and you'd come across one of Luke Perry's little sculptures with his with his writing on it that told you what it was about, a specific point on the walk, or pointing you somewhere in the other direction, or what was going this road or what was going that road. And then you'd come into these tiny little bridges that you'd have to negotiate with. The path had got littler, and Every foot that you took, or every 100 yards that you took, you just sort of looked around and thought, blimey, you know, I've never seen that afore. And you'd just carry on, and it would become almost like an education, a real, real education to what you was doing. And eventually, I just stumbled on it, really, because I thought, well, I don't know where I'm going. I know eventually, if I carry on, I'll get to Merriehill and the waterfront. But I come to this place, and on the left, I could think, because you're sort of disorientated because you're coming at it from a different road, are you? But on my left, I could see this this waiter coming up, and I was thinking, well, where am we? Because you do lose track, really. You've been under bridges, you've been under roads, and you think, oh, that's so-and-so. And then I used to walk up the little, like, towpath and have a look, and I thought, well, now it's I. That I where I thought I was. And then you'd go back and go a bit further. And then you'd do a bit of a detour, and then somebody would stop you and have a chat with you or something, and you know, tell you the life story. But I was coming up to this place, and I could see that there's all, it was a sunny afternoon, I could see the glimmer of the waiter, and wondered, you know, where am I? What's that then? And so I climbed through the little towpath and went off. And I was at Netherton Reservoir. But I only know Netherton Reservoir, or I'd only knowed Netherton Reservoir, like coming past the church and going down toward Merribank, and it was on the left-hand side. And now and again, you'd look across and there'd be yachts and stuff there. But here, it was like something secret, something special that you had fun, and it was. And I got really excited about it. I thought, oh, blimey, this is Netherton Reservoir, how fantastic. So I did come through the trees, because I've never really been and had a look, and I had a walk around it. And again, it was something that I found incredibly educational. The yachts was all there. Obviously, they wore out on the lake, but there were people sat there having a sandwich, or they were just idling round the side of the thing. And a fun out on the one side, you can go down into Saltwell's Wood, which is another place that probably I'd tie in to the walk from here to the waterfront, because Saltwell's Wood stretches on both sides, goes right up to the church. The bigger part is the one that's tied, really, onto Netherton Reservoir. And I walked around the reservoir, and I looked up at the church, and I looked across the road at the cricket pitch, and I looked across at the waiter, and I just thought, you know, this is really special. This is something that we should cherish, really, and understand that the people that worked at Round Oak up the road would probably come here on a Sunday, because then they probably do Sundays. They might have done, I ain't quite sure. But I don't think it was a tradition to work Sundays. So they'd put the best bib and tucker on and bring the families up here and probably have a picnic. You know, they'd throw a cloth out over the grass, have their hammocks in greaseproof paper, and maybe some tie in a billy can, and just sit there and look at the waiter. And it'd be a really, really special place. And I sat there for about an hour just thinking where I'd come from Port Wales, right across one of the ice points in the Black Country, looked at them amazing views from the top of Raleigh Bank and from the top of Warren's Hall, and then weaved my way through all this magic, you know, all this history that was there afore me, and I'd probably ignored it for many, many years. I'd been here, but you'd been here as, oh, shall we go for a walk down the Bumble Hole and further on? Oh, go on then. Never really looking at anything. Now I looked at the wildlife. I looked at the houses, how they'd customised themselves. And it was sort of give yourself an insight into the characters of the folk that lived there. I'd looked at the testaments of time to the old industries with these big steel contraptions or whatever they were that were now old and rusty but still magnificent. And then I'd come across this place that was so tranquil, you know, the waiter just gently ebbing backward and forward, and you'd get babbies that had, you know, that were like on the bunks, just playing on the bunks, and it just made you, it made time stand still for me. And I just thought, well, maybe this is the place to finish this part of the walk, and maybe next time we'll go down Saltwell's Wood. You know, we'll go round the lake, and rather coming in Saltwell's Wood from the main entrance, we'll go down the path from the reservoir and find out where that takes we. Come back up, well, go across the road, see what's t'other side, up the side of the cricket pitches and the church. And then we'll come back, and then we'll get on the cut, and it will take we, presumably, across the main road, across a couple of main roads, and wind our way through to the waterfront, which is on some of the ground where, again, history itself was made war. It was round Oak Steelworks. So that's that's another, I don't know, half an hour, 20 minutes telling you about what's out there and what you should be doing. And I know things are going to get easier and you can do what you want, but don't forget really how the lockdown made us appreciate we got round us. And don't stop appreciating it. Just carry on appreciating it. And don't just walk for the sake of walking. Walk and look is what I say. Just look around you and see what's there. And I'll tell you what, you'll just be gobsmacked at some of the things. And it might be that you discover, I don't know, a little sculpture in a tree that obviously somebody's left there for a reason. And it don't even matter if you don't know the story behind it. Just make up a story of your own as to why it's hung in there or why it's laid there and what it means to you and to somebody else. And we'll carry on next time.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.